You're listening to The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas.
Welcome back, my peeps. Another episode of The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas. Today's episode is going to be a special one for sure, and one that, honestly, I never thought was going to happen. But today on the show, we have an NBA champ who has a story like I've never heard before. It also had me up all night last night watching his damn TV cooking show, How Hungry Are You? Please welcome to The Crossover. As I know him now, the Mufuzi chef. But most of you know him as Serge Ibaka. My man, Serge, how are you, brother?
I'm doing wonderful. I can't complain. How are you?
I'm not doing as good as you, but I'm still, you know, I'm working hard. I'm working hard to be like you guys, you know? First of all, I want to appreciate you for being here, taking the time with us and everything else. But man, it's true, man. I was up late. Wasn't last night because we got mixed up yesterday. Weren't able to record. But the night before, I was up all night watching this damn show of yours, man. And, you know, I got my wife in the bedroom going, when you coming to bed? I said, I'm working, damn it.
Let's work.
She said, you don't sound like you're working. You're laughing your ass off watching this show out there. Tell me a little bit about this show. It's crazy.
Yeah, this, the show. I have been doing the show now almost like what? We are in our sixth episode. Six seasons. Yeah, it's been already six seasons. So I've been doing this show almost 6 years now. And it's something I enjoy doing it. Different than basketball.
Right.
Normally, I record all the season, you know, on off season during the summer.
Ah, okay. That was going to be one of my questions. I would be like, how do you get that done?
Yeah, so that's how I get things done. But, you know, it's so far, it been good to me, you know, and it kind of changed a little bit because I've been playing basketball for so long. So having a chance or having another opportunity to do something on a side different than basketball, I think it's a blessing. So I've been enjoying doing that. And hopefully I'm going to continue doing that.
Nice, man. I tell you, the first episode I watched was with Kawhi.
Yeah.
And I said, man, I gotta watch this because I know he's quiet. And you know, when I do these podcasts and these conversations, normally we kind of pick and choose the people that we know they're going to talk, that have a good story to tell us and everything else. But quiet doesn't matter what story he's got. He's going to be quiet no matter what. And man, that was just,
yeah, it's different.
It was like painstaking to watch as an interview, man, because he wouldn't talk. But yeah, man, you got him to eat bull's penis, dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's one of the things about my show. You know, I like to surprise my guest with surprise meal. That's one of the things. You know, I try to get my guests' reactions.
Yeah, man.
You know, and that's the fun part of the show. The reaction is it's one of the bigger part of the show.
But you didn't want to eat that bull's penis either.
Of course not. But of course not. But when I actually the ideas come from my team. Day before this, I ask them, so what I'm gonna cook, what I'm gonna make for him.
You don't choose what you make. Someone else chooses.
No, because in the beginning when I started, I was choosing, you know.
Okay.
But when the show started getting bigger and bigger, now we got more team. Now we got all the crews.
Right.
So I had to focus on basketball and they had to make everything. And then they just come to me and tell me, okay, this is how we're going to do it. Then I go out there and do my thing. So the day before they came to me, they say, okay, you know what? With Kawhi, I think you should cook some beef peanuts. I was like, what? Because that means I have to try it. I have to eat that too. You know, because I cannot just give my guests food and without eating. So,
right.
Yeah. But it was very challenging even for myself.
Right, right.
You know, so yeah, I'm not going to lie to you.
I saw KD with the snake. I saw Paul George. I saw DeMar Rosen. And I think my favorite one was Tiffany Haddish.
Tiffany, huh?
Yeah, and she was great, man. She was funny. She made you drink that cricket tea.
Yeah, she made me drink that.
My question is, I saw the one with Mark and Pau Gasol also.
Yeah.
And you didn't have them do the spicy questions. Why not?
I think during that time,
we haven't yet
put the spicy question.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I think the spicy question came late a little bit. Maybe after that season, I think.
I laugh, man, because like all the guests you had out were like, nah, dude, I'm not eating that. No, I don't know. And Mark and Power were like, oh, that's heart? Yeah, hell yeah. We eat that all the time in Spain.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah, Mark and Power, yeah.
Yeah, that was an easy one. Hey, man, let's get into you. Man, what, 18, 20 siblings in Republic of Congo. I know this is going back. You've probably done this a million times. But, man, when I read the story and I heard the story, I was just like, so many questions. Your mom died at 7. Your dad was arrested. The only question that really pops in my head is how, man? How are you here with me right now talking? I mean, sometimes I don't know how I'm here with you talking with guys like you either. You know what I mean?
But so I think mine, it was faith, man.
I get that. I believe in God. I believe in faith. I believe in all that. But you know, all these things are against you in life also. Your mom passing away. You know, being in a war-torn country, your dad being arrested, it's hard to believe in God when so many things are negative.
But that's where the challenging come. That's what made the difference. When you down, now you have to still believe. That's why not everybody can make it. That's why it's hard to make. That's why it's hard to go out there and sit at the table where everybody's sitting, because it's easy when everything's going well. You know, and yeah, the difference is when things go hard, that's what you need to believe, you know, and that's what they make the difference, I believe, because people who believe when things is getting hard and things get hard, and you believe, and you got a chance, you're going to have a chance to make, and if you don't believe, and you're not going to have a chance to make, so that's why. And also, I want to say is a belief and hard work, man. I never give up, you know.
Yeah, but I think hard work sometimes in life is misunderstood, because
no one
ever really knows if they're working harder than somebody. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you know, this guy's working harder than you. Like, how do you know he's working harder than me? You know, but I think the belief thing is part of the commitment to working hard. Also, I think they kind of mix into each other.
Yeah, you're right. If you don't believe when I say believe, people always think like, okay, it's easy to say believe in God or you believe in whatever you believe.
Right.
But it's like you said, believe is part of working hard too. You have to believe and you have to go out there. Like I used to wake up in the morning, even I know waking up in the morning after my workout, I'm not going to have a breakfast going back home. Mm-hmm. But I used to still do that. That's called believe too.
Right.
You know, I have to believe I have to believe one day I'm going to make it. I have to believe this is what I want, you know, and I have to believe in God. So believe it's all work together, but it's not only one thing. Like, okay, yeah, you can believe in God, but you have to believe in what you're doing.
Yeah.
You cannot just say, I'm going to believe. And then you see it at home and then you think things are going to come. You know what I mean? Yeah. So
you believe things are going to come, but that's not the type of belief we're talking about.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like you have to believe in God, and you have to believe I believe in God, and I believe in my hard work. I believe and this is going to work. You know, I have to be patient. It's all those things that go together. So yeah, during that moment, that's only things I had, because I was like, you know what? This is my only way I'm going to take. I don't have another way to take. And if it works, fine. If not, at least I try.
You know, one of my questions is that to a lot of the players is like, how many people did you leave behind? You know what I mean? That didn't make it because they didn't believe or they didn't have the endurance.
A lot.
I mean, in your case, I'm assuming it's even a lot more, because you took off from the Congo in what, when you were 17 to go to France. Now I've read this, but I don't know how you got there. How did you get to France?
So how I get to France is how I back then I had one of my I may say my mentor, okay? His name is Mike Prim. Mike Prim. So he was my mentor. And back then, he used to come to Congo because his dad worked in Congo, right?
Okay.
So he used to come in Congo, in Brazzaville, to visit his dad. But at the same time, he played basketball. So every time he come to Congo, you know, he go he used to come to play pick up basketball with us on the streets,
Oh,
like
okay.
street
All right.
ball on the evening.
Could he play?
Yeah, he could actually back then he could play. Yeah, he could play.
Okay.
Yeah, he could play. Like,
Hey
yeah,
man,
you know.
hey, I'm an old man. We don't like that back then word.
He back then he could play. Back then he could play. And he used to come play with us in the pickup basketball. And then one day he saw me, was like, you know, he asked me my age. But then I think back then I was like 12 or 13 when we met the first time. And he asked me about my age, and he was like, wow, like you got like, so much future on you, like, you know. And then to me, I was just listening to him, like, yeah, right. Because I don't know exactly like when he was telling about those things, he saw something in me, but I didn't see that in myself because I was like, who really care? Because I'm playing basketball in Congo. What basketball is gonna take me? You know what I mean?
Right, exactly, yeah.
Nobody really care, like because my dad played basketball before. I
Your
have one
mom
of my
also played too,
my,
right?
my yeah, my mom and my one of my coach, he was one of the best player in Africa.
Okay.
All the time. He never made it. He never made it. You know, I was like, you know, kind of like that kind of mentality we had back then. It's like,
Yeah,
you're not born.
when you're a kid, you look up to those kind of people, and also in the back of your mind, well, he didn't make it. How the hell am I gonna make it?
Exactly. And then back then, they used to, you know, they tell you, like, you know, basketball, you're just wasting your time in Congo back then because it's all soccer. So you play basketball, you're gonna just gonna end up go play in a military team, an army. Or maybe,
Right.
you know, you're just gonna play whatever. But you know, no one really back then, no one really believed if you play basketball in Congo, you can't go play outside. So you know, so actually people used to think like I'm kind of crazy. They used to tell me like you're wasting your time playing basketball, it's gonna take you nowhere, you know. So we met and then he told me that, man, listen, you have so much potential with your size, you know, I'm gonna try to do something maybe to help you to find your team. I was like, yeah, you know, actually he did it, you know. He went back to France, he found a team. That team, you know, I went when my first time when I went to France. So he found me a team, and then they sent me an invitation to get a visa to go play there. That's what happened.
Is that in your mind? Like, I mean, that's got to be the biggest break of your life at that point, right? I mean, you got to be thinking like, man, this is you see the opportunity, you have to seize the opportunity. You got to take advantage of the opportunity, you
Oh
know?
yeah. Oh yeah. I could not think twice. Back then, I have the opportunity to go play outside in Congo, in Europe. I don't care if it's a, I don't care where, what team, what division I'm playing. I'm just wanna get out to go play somewhere, you
What
know?
was a day like in the Congo when you were like 13, 14 years old?
Well, my day is like waking up in the morning. You know, you wake up in the morning, you go to school, and while you're at school, in your mind, I'm thinking about go to play basketball. As soon I'm done here. I'm taking my
Right.
time. Soon I'm done with school here. I have to go play basketball, pick up basketball. I have to, you
Right.
know. So after the school is done, I'm rushing back home. When I get back home, I just change. Sometimes I don't even eat. You know, sometimes I don't eat.
But I was brought up in New York, and I did the same thing as that. But I want to know like what it was like being brought up in the Congo, man. Because you're going through civil war. I mean, it's not the basketball courts probably weren't like the basketball courts that I experienced when I
No, no,
was
no,
like.
no, no. The basketball court. Sometimes you play basketball on you know, on a like, I don't know. There, I don't know if there it wasn't even basketball court. We just
Yeah,
made up
you just
something.
made it up.
Yeah, you just made it up something. Sometimes you play basketball with your soccer ball.
Dude, man, it's crazy. And then from there you get to Spain and you play. Well, you're not actually in Barcelona, right? You're next to Barcelona.
Yeah, in Barcelona, I played in Spain. 3 years in Spain, I played junior, second division, then first division. Yeah, I played 3 years in Spain.
I mean, all of a sudden, what's going through your mind when, you know, you're in France, now you're in Spain, you're having to learn these languages, obviously. Somebody that says you taught yourself Spanish, and you're just going through this. I mean, how far past is the Congo right now? I mean, how much do you think about back home? How much do you think about family? And how much are you thinking about your future?
Listen, in that time, I was thinking about nothing. At that time when I got to Europe, maybe when I got to France, maybe like it was a little different. But when I moved to Spain, I was like, you know what? This is my destiny.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I was like, this is my destiny. And this what happened to me, it don't happen every day in Congo. It don't happen like I never see that before, like where I come from. You know, so I was like, if I'm here now, this is my destiny. So all in my mind, the only thing I was thinking was how to figure out how to do it to make as far as I can. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna do whatever it takes. You know, I'm gonna give my best. That's what's on my mind. Because I say, I know I left family, I left my family. I know if I can change this, it's going to inspire a lot of people back home. It's going to inspire a lot of kids.
Yeah, I mean, I see that. I see that. But I also see, like, well, you know, we talked about the belief thing before, you know? It's like,
yeah.
I mean, all of a sudden, you know, you signed a three-year deal in Manresa, and you're in Spain. You came from France, went to Congo. Why wasn't that enough for you? Why? I mean, because if you would have just stopped there.
No, well, you know why it's not enough? Because I'm going to think like, only where I come from in Congo. And I'm here today. That's mean I can be there tomorrow. Now I'm living like it's possible. You know what I mean? That's where I got my motivations.
Right.
Because I want to talk to myself. I'm just like, call me where I come from. No one ever did it where I come from. I was the first one.
You've already achieved more than everybody else.
Exactly. So I'm like, come where I come from. If I'm here today, if I got here today, now I believe I can be there too tomorrow.
But you understand what I'm saying, right? You could also have that belief where, like, nobody else has made it this far. I'm good. I can just relax.
Exactly. So that one, you're right. You're 100%. I could relax. I seen a lot of people, a lot of friends of mine, like they got there in right. Europe and Spain, and they kind of relax a little bit. They say, okay, that's it. But the reason I didn't want to relax, I was like, I'm playing this game more than just basketball. It's more than just for myself I'm playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I had to go open some doors where no one, where I come from, no one could believe, you know? And then,
so you wanted to continue opening them more doors?
Yes,
more doors,
I was like, I have to do it now. Because I got here, I have to do it now. You know what I mean? So I'm saying, like, it's possible now. And then, because, you know, coming where I come from, they used to make us believe the only way to play in the NBA, you to be born in Europe or in the States.
Right. The destiny was already chosen for you.
You know what I mean? Exactly. So, yeah.
It's crazy, man. Because of your belief system and your faith in God and everything else, was there ever a point during these times where things went poorly and you were like, man, maybe I don't deserve to be here or maybe I've gone far enough already? You know, I'm trying to get into your mind mentally to figure out where you were during that. Because for an athlete, there's so many ups and downs.
Here are the things. Things, like you say, it's always ups and downs. You know, that's a lot of people sometimes they don't understand. When they see you on the top, They think everything's smooth. No.
Yeah, good.
It's not smooth because
not
we are not perfect.
Nope.
Then because we are not perfect, all the things we gonna do is not gonna be perfect. Even till now, it's still some ups and downs.
Yeah.
This is life, right? So
it doesn't matter how much money you make, no matter how successful you are. I mean,
yeah,
you
know. It's still up and down. That's one thing I never told myself, and I don't think even when things was going down, because I told myself this, right? Serge, where you are right now, nothing's gonna be worse than where you come from.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I mean? So
it kind of makes it easier when you think
exactly,
about it.
Exactly, because it cannot make it easier, but you have to understand. That's why they always say it's very important to know where you come from, so you can know where you are and where you wanna go.
Right.
You know. Exactly. So every time where I hit the bottom or something is going south, I always sit down and ask myself, do you really think this is hard than where you come from? No way.
It's difficult to have that mentality.
I know.
Without those breaks that you've had, but you had them and you've taken advantage of them. And you've taken advantage of the point where you even got yourself in the NBA draft. I mean, of course, you know, when you're in the Congo, I'm not thinking at ever you're thinking you're going to be in the NBA draft, let alone go on to win an NBA championship, dude.
But do you know even when I got drafted, I asked my agent, I told my agent to ask the team to let me come back to play one more year in Spain.
You asked them to go play one more year in Spain?
Yeah, did you know that?
No, I never heard that. I never heard that.
Okay, I'm telling you the story now.
I know you had a buyout between each year. If they wanted to buy you out, they could. But I never heard that you requested to stay one year in Spain.
No, here's the history now. So I must do Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
They had number 18.
The 18th pick.
Yeah, they had number 18 pick.
Okay.
And Oklahoma City, back then it was Seattle.
Yeah, that was a superstar, yeah.
Yeah, they had number 24. Before the draft, I told my agent, I say, I would like to get back for one more year in Spain after I get drafted because I want to feel ready.
Right.
During that time, I don't think I was ready to go right straight to the NBA.
What did your agent say? You crazy?
Well, no, but one good thing about me and my agent, because he always believed in me.
Right.
I think that was the key. So he was like, I don't know, Serge. I don't know if that's going to work. Because the Washington, D.C., they want, if they draft you, they want you to come right away. Then he said to me, that's number 18. So if you got drafted number 18, you got a little bit more money than number 24.
Of course.
Right? Then my agent come to me, say, but the Oklahoma and Seattle Supersonics back then, the Oklahoma City, they are okay if they draft you on 24. They are okay for you to go back to go play one more year in Spain.
Play for a year.
You know, so I had to turn down number 18 because, you know, as a human being, as an athlete, you know, those numbers kind of make you feel kind of good. You know, it can make you look good. Like, oh, you was number, you know, you was top 10 or you was top 20, you know me, or top 30.
Yeah.
So I had to turn down number 18 just because I want to go back to play one more year in Spain. So then I said to my agent, cool, we're going to go with number 24.
So what did you have to do? Did you have to tell Washington that if they picked you, you elected to go back? Is that why they
didn't pick agent, you? My agent told them, we want to go back for one more year. And they say, okay, fine. They didn't draft me at 18. And the Oklahoma City drafted me on 24th.
And what was that year? What was preparation like for you? I mean, because obviously now you have a bigger prize in front of you.
Here's the story, though. I'm not telling my story. So, you know, since we are talking about belief.
I
went back to Spain for one more year. All right? And then during that time, it was kind of crazy because first, I turned a lot of money down, you know, because going to play in Spain and then playing in the NBA, you know, the money was so much. Big difference of money. I'm talking about millions.
Of course.
You know, to make it 10,000, 10,000, you know. But you know what I told myself? I said to myself, Serge, call me where you come from with your situations. With my situations, come where I come from. I don't think I'm gonna lose now. There's no way. I say there's no way. Even when I'm losing now, I'm still winning.
I'm still winning, yeah, of course.
You know, I told myself exactly. So I told myself, even if I lose now, let's say I went back to Spain and I end up getting hurt or not playing good or whatever, I'm still winning. So that's why I didn't worry, because you know, my family, my friend, man, what happened? Why are you crazy? You turned so much money down. What happened if you go back to play in Spain? Then you got yourself hurt. You hurt yourself. I was like, even if I hurt myself in Spain, call me where I come from with my situations, it's still a blessing. I'm still winning.
Yeah, but I mean, you understand your friends and family, because your friends and family say,
Yeah,
you
but
know, in their mind, you're losing because you're not taking the money when it's there. But no one's walked that road with you. No one's
exactly. No
lived
one
that
be
with you.
no one be yeah, exactly. So it's easy for people, for friends, people outside
Of course.
to give their opinions, but no one live with me every day. No one wake up. No one used to wake up with me when I was back home in Congo. No
Right.
one, not my family, not my brother, not my dad. No one used to wake up with me every day at 6 a.m. in the morning, 5 a.m. in the morning, to go run
Right.
outside and come back without, you don't have nothing to eat.
Yeah, that you know, the hardest thing about that is going back to the belief thing, is not, you know, it's easy to believe in destiny, but it's more difficult sometimes to believe in yourself if you're making the right decision. And you know, and I think you live now with the, and you did then with the same thing I live with, is, look, I've made this decision to do this, and I'll be damned if I'm gonna be wrong. I'm gonna do it as best I can and the right way I can while I'm here, because I've already made that decision. I think, and that's belief in yourself more than it is destiny or anything else.
Yeah, you ought to believe.
No. Hey man, did you ever believe you'd win an NBA championship? That's crazy,
Okay,
man.
I'm gonna say this. We played our first final and against the Miami Heat when I was in Oklahoma City.
Right.
We lost that. And then because we was young. Well, that's the excuses we always say. I don't think it's about young. But anyway, there was a better team than us back then.
Right.
And then after we lost that final, I was like, you know what? We're still young. We're gonna go back to the final again. We didn't go back in the final again since then.
Right. Not
You
in
know?
Oklahoma, anyways.
Yeah. So we didn't go back to the final again. But that's why, you know, like that's why in our head, in our mind, because we were so young, we were so good. We told ourselves, we said, listen, hey, we're gonna go back. And then we never went back to the final. We never, you know. So after Oklahoma City, I kind of starting to lose a little bit, you know.
But Oklahoma City was a crazy team, because you had KD, you had Harden, you had Russ, and I mean, and those are three incredible players, but they're also three somewhat have become, in certain ways, toxic players to a lot of different teams, especially Russ and James. You know, even though everybody talks highly of them, you know, I mean, the fact that that team was together and played so well together was amazing, but I think it was because they were young.
I think, yeah, I mean, we was young, like I said, and then we made the final, and then we lost in the final, and we came back, then I think we made, we started, you know, we started going to a conference final, but we tried to go back to the final again, and our last chance was against the Golden State, the Warriors,
Right.
when we was up 3-1, and we lost that series.
Yeah.
That's when I was like, oh, you know, I kind of that's when that's the moment where I kind of lost my faith a little bit on an NBA champion. I was like, man, I don't think we're gonna go back again. Now, you know, like after this one, I don't think so.
Hard,
So,
yeah.
you know, and then and then I was like, man, I don't know when this thing's so hard, like You know, I was like, man, this thing's so hard. People think it's that easy to go back to the NBA
No,
final.
man,
It's
no.
not easy, you know. So yeah, and then it happened in Toronto, you know. So
What happened when, because obviously that game you just told me about, you know, when, or the, I should say those three games when you're up 3-1 and y'all lost, you're down 2-0 to Milwaukee, was it? I think it was,
yes.
yeah, to Milwaukee. And they said here you gave a speech at halftime, or you gave a speech after the
Yes.
second loss. What
Yes.
was that speech? I mean, because you know the only thing, Serge, the only thing I'm thinking, and don't take this personal, man, but you know you've been in the NBA long enough, and I was there not nearly, you know, I was there any time, but I know what it's like in the States. Everybody looked at you when you first got there, like, man, this dude from Africa, this dude from whatever, from Europe. You know, they come from all these other different places. They don't know shit. And then all of a sudden, you're up in front of a team with Kawhi Leonard and some incredible player giving a riveting speech when you all go down 0-2. I mean, where do you get the confidence, number one, to do that? And number two, what did you tell them?
Well, I don't think it's I find the confidence. It is who I am. You know, yeah, I don't think I have to be someone I am not. That's who I am. You know, if you ask everyone I played, that's who I am. And then that's one. Second is because I've been there before. I've been in that situation before.
Right.
You know, I don't think the guys there on the team, none of them never been on that situation. You know, I've been in the situation before. I think I was the only guy who'd been there. You know, so I know how it is. I know how you can feel after you down to, you know, and I've been in those situations many, many times, you know. So during that moment, all I was thinking was just try to be out there, try to, you know, to keep my team spirit up,
Right.
because honestly, we was down spiritually. Like I can tell everybody was down. You know, the energy was down. You know, like we was really down after those 2-0. So I had to do something because I've been there many times. You
Exactly.
know, I've been in the same situation many times. I know how to feel, and I know you can still come back because
I
I've
mean,
been there before too. Against the
but because of your experience, you're feeling like a veteran to this team also, because you're coming from something that had just happened a few years ago. So you have, I mean, you have the ability to be able to speak to these people and make them
Yeah.
listen to you also.
And the thing is also the funny part is I've been in that situation, same exact situations. It was against Kawhi, San Antonio
Oh, that's
Spurs.
yeah, that yeah, that's right. That's
You know
right.
what
It
I
was
mean?
against
So I've been there,
that.
like it was two down. Like the first two game, man, we play like a shit. So but we came back, we won 4 in a row. So I know how to feel. I know how to do it.
You
So
know how it goes from both sides.
exactly. So I had to switch it up, and I had to switch it up. So I had to, you know, to tell my teammates, "Hey, listen, guys. The feeling is normal to feel down like this, but it's not over yet. You know, man, it's not over yet." So yeah, and I think you know, and I think it really helped. It really helped us. I believe, you know, because it was actually it was important for my teammate to hear something like that.
I think things every day, man. I look back to my childhood or whatever, and when you have the NBA trophy in your hand and you know you're an NBA champ, how many times do you think when you look at it or think about it or you talk about it, you're like, man, damn, dude, I came from the Congo.
Yes.
I'm not supposed to have this. It's just not, you know. How many
A
times
lot
do
of
you
times,
look
like,
back and just thank, you know, everybody? You know, the guy you're talking about, Mark, whatever his name was, in France. You know, I mean, there's so many people that along the way, I'm sure that you can thank, man. And how many times do you think about that?
so many times, man. Like you said, coming where I come from, and go to the NBA, winning the NBA champion. Yeah, that was a like. I remember exactly the last game when I would, you know, before the game was over, like And we didn't know, like, we about to win. I was like,
Right.
no, this is a joke. I'm dreaming. I'm saying, this is no
Crazy.
way. I'm dreaming, man. You know what I mean? So it's something. It really changed everything about me.
You're a Netflix series documentary, like your whole life. I mean, if you need some help on this documentary, I'm here to help you out, man. I mean, you already do a good TV show, so you got the people behind you. But
Yeah.
that'd be a great story, man. I think your whole story would be great. And
Man, see,
you even got to come and play for the Spanish national team and almost won a gold medal.
yes, almost gold medal. Oh wow,
Yeah.
that's, I even forget about it. Almost, yeah, almost won the gold medal.
Yeah, I mean it's crazy. I mean, what was that like playing with those guys? And
Man, it's amazing, amazing,
the
and great experience. I had so much fun playing.
you played at the London Olympics. I
The London
mean,
Olympics, man. Like I remember, I used to be in the Congo watching Olympics. I was like, whoa, this is, I don't know, this is the
big
next
time.
level, you know? So playing Olympics, man. Coming where I come from, I played Olympics.
Well, how come you never went back and played for the Spanish team again? Was it just because of contracts and too much time,
No, it's
or?
not contract because in Europe, the national team only can have one guy with passport.
Ah, okay.
They came up too. So then they had Mirotic, Nicolas Mirotic
That's
too.
right. Mirotić was
He got the
there, yeah. Also,
passport
that's
too.
right.
So
Yeah.
you know, and then they have to choose.
No. All right. So they told Mirotić. Were you upset about that, or?
No, man. I won the Euro Cup with the team.
Right.
Almost won the gold medal in the Olympics. I played the
Right,
World
right,
Cup.
right.
You know, that's to me, that's a dream.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You
It's a
already lived
dream.
it. Hey, you after that, you went through a bunch of other teams and now you're here, man. And now you're over on the other side of the pond, as we say in the States, you know? What made you come back? What made you come back? What made you go to Bayern? What I mean, how did all that happen? Because obviously there's a EuroLeague podcast, so we need to talk about the EuroLeague and what brought you back here.
Okay, let's talk about EuroLeague now. So what brought me back here, I think one of the biggest reason was because of Pablo Laso. Yeah, because I know Pablo since Madrid. You know, when I went to play there during the NBA lockout.
During the lockout season, yeah.
Yeah, so I was there like I think for 2 or 3 months, if I'm not wrong. And so I kind of know him already, you know. I know him as a person, as a coach. So last summer I was home just working out, waiting for the NBA season to come back and to try to see what team could try to sign me to go play. And I had a call from Pablo. You know, no, my agent called me, say Pablo wants to talk to you. You know, because of course Pablo, I have so much respect for him as a friend.
Right.
So I was like, why not? I'm gonna talk to him, you know. So, and before Pablo, I remember, you know, my agent told me about different options. I said no. You know, I said
Different
no.
European options,
Yeah, different
or
European team
yeah.
or different leagues, you know. And
Right.
I said no because I'm just gonna focus to go back to try to go play in NBA. But then, when my agent called me, he said it was Pablo. And I could not say no to talk to him on the phone, you
Right.
know. Even before, even I was not sure. I was not really thinking about coming to play it. But I said, at least I'm gonna pick up the phone and listen what he had to say, just for the respect I have for him. And yeah, when then he called me, we talk, and I don't know if this guy got a little magic talk, but he kind of he. He was able to change my mind, you know.
Y'all,
So,
did y'all talk in Spanish or in English?
yeah, we're talking Spanish, English, but yeah, yeah,
Spanglish,
Spanglish, exactly.
Spanglish. He does a way. He does have a way of talking,
Yeah,
and
he really kind of changed my mind. He really did.
I mean, was it a difficult decision? I mean,
Yeah,
because.
it was difficult. I think I took like almost a week. You know, but the good thing about he was so patient with me, that's really helped too.
Right.
You know, he was patient with me, the team was patient with me. I took almost like a week to try to rethink, you know.
Because the season hadn't started yet, but it was only like a week or 10 days away from
Yeah,
starting,
I came
right?
like yeah, I came really late.
Right.
So
But
yeah, but
hey, Pablo and I played together. He's used to having guys show up after training camp.
so he used to though.
He used to see me show up at the end of training camp all the time. Like, man, I'll be there when the season starts. Don't worry. So
So he used to that.
he was used to it. But what's it like playing for Pablo? What's so special about playing for him? I always say, because I've played with him, I've watched him coach, and Pablo and I've known each other for 20 something years now. And I just think he was the type of guy that took everything from every coach he's ever had along the way, and was able to like kind of shake him up and take the good stuff out, put it over here, take the bad stuff out, put it over here, and the middle stuff. That's how I've always seen Pablo, and he looks like a guy that's just a lot of fun to play for. Although when he gets pissed off, he can get pissed off now.
That's the only thing. Yeah, when they get pissed off, he go crazy. That's but like we say, no one is perfect. That's
Right,
the
of
only thing.
course.
Like yeah, when he get pissed off, he go crazy. But like you say,
But
one
hey, but
thing about
some of it is perfect though for him, because he knows what he's doing when he gets pissed off. Sometimes he does it on purpose. You know what I mean?
well, I hope so. But yeah, like you say, Pablo, you know his style is kind of you say mix up a little bit. You know, and at the same time, you know, he really strict. You know, he kind of coach. He's kind of strict kind of coach, like heavy coaches here in Europe.
Right.
But also, he likes to let player play a little bit of freedom too. So he understand he because he used to play basketball. So he understand a little bit the difference and the balance. You know,
Right.
and yeah.
And I mean, I'm not lying to you or telling you anything you don't already know. It's hard to win a European championship from Bayern Munich. It's never been done before. But right now, with this play-in coming, y'all got a big game this week. Which, you know, and plus it's a little bit of a favorable schedule over the next couple weeks. I mean, how big are these next couple games for you guys? I know you don't want to look ahead or anything, but you got a chance to get yourselves into the play-in, play-out, whatever you want to call it, and possibly if you get on a little roll, get right into the playoffs. You're not that far out of reach. What's the atmosphere like in the team?
Right now, our atmosphere is we go by game, you know, because we know, like you said, every game it's very important for us right now. But we have to focus on the game by game, you know. So we got the next one's coming in 2 days. It's important. It's very important. So and we're playing outside, so it's not gonna be easier. But you know, and we have confidence, you know, we. As the season be going through, we be getting better and better. I believe so. You know, as a
It
team, you know.
seems like that. It seems like you see the slow progression of the team a little
Yes, you
bit
know, we're
tech.
getting we're starting to click in. You know. Unfortunately, we had a couple of games we lost. We were supposed to win it, but it's a part of the game. But right
That's
now,
part of EuroLeague, man. You
we lost a couple of games by like 1 point, like it was up by 4 and 1 minute left, stuff like that. But it's part of the game, like you said. And the Euro League is a great competitions. You know, every team they come to compete in a high level every night.
No.
And so now we just go by game. You know, we focus on game by game.
It's a little different than the NBA, is it? You got to come out and play every night. You got to give it
Oh
your all
man, the Euro League gets
every
you. The
night.
Euro League, every game is like playoff already.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy. Like you have to come out to play every game. Like wow, it's a crazy, but crazy fun. I mean,
Yeah,
you
exactly.
know,
I mean, it makes it interesting. It makes it interesting for
very
all of us.
interesting. Yeah.
I'm gonna finish up with you here, man. We're gonna get a little more personal stuff, and then I'm gonna get into EuroLeague test, and then we're done. I'll let you go. You go back to the Congo every year, don't you?
Yes, I try to.
Is that's a obligatory trip. You try to get back there,
Yeah, I
and
have
not
to go
only.
back to give back to see my family and to do some work with my foundation. So yeah.
What's your foundation do? It's just helping kids, young
Yeah,
kids.
my foundation we have to work with a lot of orphanages in Congo. Also we have academy, basketball academies, where we try to help kids, you know, to get a scholarship to go play in Spain or in the States. or in Europe, anywhere in Europe.
Right.
And yeah, we have the basketball academy in Mali, Senegal, and Congo, so
So,
yeah.
it's basically when you say you're giving back, you're giving back. It's
Of
not,
course.
you're just not saying
No,
it.
no, 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 no. I
Hey
mean,
man, that's incredible, man, that you can.
because yeah, I think that's one of the reasons I had to work hard, because I know I have a lot of responsibility in my back, so that's why.
You almost talk like you owe them people something, you know?
It's I don't think I owe nobody. I think I just share my blessing. That's how I say it. I'm just
Share.
sharing my blessing. I think it's not, oh, just to me, I don't owe nobody. I just enjoy sharing my blessing with others. And because I know how hard it is, I came from there.
Right, of course.
So I didn't have no
Man,
one to
hey,
do that for me. Why not do for others,
Vanity Fair's best dress list in 2019. I mean, I've seen you that little smile coming out. That's one of your favorite awards right there, isn't
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's yeah. I don't think it's more than NBA champion, but
No,
that's it's
but
fun.
it's a different award though. It's like, damn,
Different
that's
one,
not
yeah. It's
bad.
fun. It's fun. It's
Right.
fun.
And what about your song Tampa? You just got awarded something, didn't you?
Yeah, my first single champion got is Diamond. It went Diamond in Europe.
Dude, you got it all going, man. Music, fashion,
I
the
mean,
give it back your
like I told you, call me where I come from. Everything I'm doing now, it's gonna work. There's no way.
But I think you would. That's like going out and stealing a bank and getting 100 grand, and you're like, the next day I want to go back and steal 1 million, man. Screw
No,
this.
it's different. It's different.
You just keep on winning.
I'm not stealing. I'm working.
Yeah, I know.
And
I didn't mean it
the
that way.
difference is now, the difference now. All the work I'm putting on now is easier because the
Right,
work I used to
exactly.
put back then is harder than this.
Yeah,
And now I'm here, so everything is
but
just
that's
easier.
why. But that's why all the work was done before. It's like when people say that people make, basketball players make a shot from three quarter court, they're lucky. Yeah, a little bit of luck to it, but they've worked their ass off for a whole life to be able to
Exactly.
put themselves in that position. So
Yes,
I don't want to hear
sir.
anything about luck. There ain't that much luck going on. Hey man, before we get into questions, I got one thing for you, and you have to do it.
What is it?
I'm throwing it back at you, man. It's picante time. I'm throwing you three spicy questions, man. I'm stealing it
You
because
got me. You stole my segment. Come on, man. You need to come
that's
up with
right.
something.
I'm taking it from you. I'm taking it from you because I
All
like
right, let's
it.
do it.
But I'm gonna make it easy. I got no cricket tea to tea or no bull's penis to eat or nothing like that. So it's just you and I right now. First question, best coach you've ever played for?
Ooh, best coach. This is really spicy questions. Oh man, best coach. Oof. I played with a lot of great coaches. But now you got me in the spot on the spicy question, so I had to give you one. I'm gonna say Scotty Brooks.
Scotty Brooks.
Yeah, Scotty
All right.
Brooks.
I'll text Pablo that right now. Don't worry. Look, number two, I'm coming right back at you. Who's your celebrity crush?
Ah, come on, man. It's easy. My favorite crush is my girlfriend.
But was she your celebrity crush before you met her?
Yes,
She
that's why I'm
was.
with her. Yes, she was my favorite crush before I met her too,
Okay.
actually.
All right. And
Yeah.
I'm gonna go right back at you with the one that you use all the time. Who's the one celebrity that turned you down before you dated your girlfriend, of course?
Oh man, I don't know.
On. You always talk about like slipping into the DMs and and them turning you down.
I see you already checked my show, huh?
Hey man,
You
I
did
told
check.
you I do my research, man. I do my work. That's what they pay me for.
Who turned me down? Who turned me down? I think my girlfriend turned me down first time. So
Oh man,
her.
that That was like your girl Tiffany saying that the cat was the worst co-host she ever had. It's the same thing.
The crossover test.
Hey, man. All right, I'll let you go with that. I'll let you go. Let's knock down this EuroLeague test right now. This one's a little bit more difficult than that one. I got five guys with the record all time, 100 points scored. Will Clyburn, Dante Exum, Kevin Punter, Gershon Yabusele, and Nikola Melli. The season high this year is Nigel Hayes-Davis, only got 70. So you got a little bit of a chance. I got five questions for you. Each question, I assume 10 points more. Question one's worth 10, two worth 20, three worth 30, four, 45, 50. All right, you ready?
Oh, shit, I don't know. Okay, I'm trying. I don't know, let's go.
All right, man, it's been a long time since you've been in Europe. We make it easy early, though. Who is the top scoring team this season in Turkish Airlines EuroLeague? Which means the top average per game.
I say Real Madrid, no?
There you go, man. You see that? You got 10 points.
That's easy because they are the best team anyway, so.
Well, you scared me for a minute, man. I thought you were going to get that one wrong. All right, here's number two with 20 points. How many teams will take part in the play-in showdown at the end of the regular season?
Four teams,
right?
Yeah.
There you go. 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th. Perfect. Look at it, man. You got 30 points. This is easier than my Picante questions.
Okay, let's do it.
Number three. Which has been the highest position in the standings for Bayern at the end of a regular season? Since 2016-17, when the round robin format started. What's the highest Bayern has been ranked in the league at the end of the regular season?
The highest? I don't know, I didn't do my homework. So, yeah, I don't think. Okay, let me just give you something. Maybe I'm gonna get lucky. Six?
Oh man. Fifth place in 2020-21.
Oh, I was close. Fifth place.
Trincheri was the coach and they lost in the playoffs to Milan 3-2 in that series.
Ah, that was close.
All right, so you lost 30. You still got a chance here. Number four with 40 points. Which player has the most minutes played this season?
I don't know. That one, I don't know. I'll pass that one.
Shane Larkin.
Okay, 33
minutes. That's a tough question. That's a tough,
that's tough question.
That could have been a few people. All right, last one worth 50. So that means, let's see, 10, 20. You got 30. So you can take this season's record right here. The last question. Which is the highest point index rating, PIR, ever achieved in a modern EuroLeague era? The highest point index rating ever achieved in a game, in a single game. This is a tough one, man.
This is tough, yeah. This is tough. I just got back, man. This is tough. I had to do my homework, man. I'm still processing, you know.
Hey, wait a minute. Let me go back here for a second. Nah, you weren't even here yet.
Exactly.
So you weren't even here yet.
Yeah.
You give up?
Yeah, this one I give up. Yeah, I give up this one.
Tanoka Beard.
Yeah, I don't know.
Had a 63 PIR one time and went one game against Zalgiris, man.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Hey, Serge. You know, when you were here in Madrid, I was here and I never really got a chance to meet you. And I wish I did back then. Got to know you a little bit more. I know you're here quickly, but I'm glad that we got together. And I'm glad you shared the time with us and with my listeners and everything else, man. It's my pleasure to sit down with you, hear your story, and watch that damn TV show. I got so many more to watch, man. I want to check them out. But, hey, best dress, a diamond platinum album, all this shit going on. And you know what I got to ask you? I want that BMW jacket you made, too.
Oh
I
yeah,
want
that jacket is nice. Yeah.
That's badass right there.
Yeah, it's nice.
I want.
I only got one. I only made one, but it's nice.
You only made one? Come on, man.
Yeah,
you gotta make more of those.
Yeah, I only made one.
My man, good best of luck to you, man.
Likewise, and, thank you so much.
Best of luck to you guys for the rest of the season. Hopefully, I'll see you in the playoffs.
Yes, sir. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas. If you like what you've heard, subscribe now so you don't miss an episode and leave us a review on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. You can also get in touch via Twitter and Instagram at EuroLeague using the hashtag ELCrossover or on Facebook at the EuroLeague.